prayer. The house of prayer. You know, it's as if the children were just as if we say this house should be known for prayer. Is what Jesus said, though. Amen. It's Jesus that first said it. So this morning I want to continue, and for a title I want to talk about standing or stand in the gap. Stand in the gap. Stand in the gap. Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. This is God speaking. It says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the edge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." Maybe we should all read it together. Let's go. One, two, go. "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the edge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Statements like this should never happen when people like you are here. Statements like this should not be a reality if you are alive. When God says things like this, of course, you know, the one that is called the truth cannot lie. And you will have thought that this is an Old Testament reality alone. That in 2025, or maybe in a house like Victory House, where we call it a house of prayer, you will find that God is always finding someone who stands in the gap. And the answer sometimes is shockingly no. There are people that are praying, but not many people are standing in the gap. There are many people that are practicing prayer. They are in the ministry of prayer one way or the other, especially for themselves. But not too many people are standing in the gap. There are very few people that are standing in the gap and saying, "No more evil." From this statement alone, you can know who to blame sometimes when you see evil. You know, sometimes when people see anything that is wrong, the first blame is they look up. They look up and say, "Where is God?" When there is a problem, they are looking up. They are looking down from up and say, "Where is man?" Because that's what God is saying. When there's destruction, "I was looking for a man. There was no man. I was looking for a man in Chicago. I was looking for a man in America. There was no man." Many of them were complaining. They were protesting. And don't get me wrong, there's a place for protest. There's a place to voice out. There's a place to hold people in power, hold them accountable. I don't have a problem with that. I believe we should do that. But if that's the only thing we are doing, we have wasted our time. "I'm looking for a man." And God is still looking for a man. In your family, you are saying the things that are wrong there. "This person is behaving like this. That my sister. This one. That one." Many of the problem are not complaint issues. They are matters that a man has to stand up and say, I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to make the edge. I'm going to make sure that, not on my watch. I'm going to make sure that I will say, "God, stay the hand of evil. I will say, let evil not rise again." Somebody has to raise a voice. "I sought for a man to stand in the gap." Last week I kind of entered into Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. I think you should pull it up. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Let's go there and connect it back here again. Hebrews 4 16. The Bible says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help." So the product from this throne of grace is that we can get mercy there. The product from this throne of grace is that we can get grace to help in time of need. So there's a product, but you need to also understand that beyond the product, there is somebody that is sitting on this throne. There is God. And it is because God is sitting on a throne, or is sitting as the judge. In Psalm 75, from verse 5 downwards, Psalm 75, 5 to 6, the Bible talks about the fact that promotion does not come from the east nor from the west, but God is the judge. You know, that God is the judge. He lifted up the one and put it another down. Okay? So God is a judge. And in the justice system of God, there are two sides of the same coin. In the justice system of God, there are two sides of the same coin. There is judgment and there is mercy. There is judgment and there is mercy. If God has to be just, judgment has to happen. In fact, in the judgment of God is the mercy of God too. If God is just, judgment has to happen. And that is a quick thing to tell somebody who has believed some of these popular lies that is now going on and say, well, God is a God of love. And because God is a God of love, he cannot even correct anybody. He cannot punish people. In fact, don't use punishment with God. It is only in the Old Testament that God punishes people. In New Testament, God is just love. That kind of theology is dangerous and reckless. And also ignorant. Because if God is really God, by the definition of God, it would be funny if the God of the Old Testament is different from the God of the New Testament. He has to go and apologize to the people of the Old Testament. Hello? Because I can imagine Dathan, Korah, and Abiram. They'll go and meet him and say, excuse me, sir. Excuse me. Excuse me. I don't have a problem with where I am. But I have a problem that you have now become so mild, you know. And you are like some of the parents we know. Who, when they had their firstborn, they were very strict. Secondborn, quite a little strict. Thirdborn, lastborn, we didn't even see parent again. Immediately they gave birth to the lastborn. They switched from parent to be child. And the child became parent. You know, you see that happening a lot. Usually many of us that have lastborn children, you know, they have their way a lot. But God is not like that. You know why? The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ, when? The same yesterday. And the yesterday of Jesus is not your yesterday. The yesterday was when he was slain at the foundation of the earth. It's the same yesterday. It's the same today. And it's the same what? Forevermore. It doesn't change. Oh, so why is it that we don't see many of the things that we see in the Old Testament? Why don't we see it now? Because what happened in the New Testament that didn't happen in the Old Testament was that somebody is now standing in the gap. The reason the judgment of God is not necessarily like the Old Testament is because we have a person standing in the gap. There is a mediator. There is someone now that stands and intercedes on behalf of people. That's why it looks like it's mellow. God is still God, though. And you don't want to see the other side of God. Because some people say, he's a loving God. But he's also a God of justice. Because he has to bring justice for him to be a good judge. Even though in the economy of justice, there's also mercy there. So because there is mercy inside justice, if we have somebody that stands in the gap, the person can take mercy instead of justice, judgment. He can ask that the judge will tamper justice with mercy. In regular law of court, court of law, they will tell the judge, my lord, sir, with all the evidence that has been provided to you, I ask this court to temper justice with mercy. And the court will say, well, I'll give my judgment. And sometimes, he will say, go and say no more. I mean, sometimes. Sometimes he won't say that. So, the ministry of standing in the gap was introduced by God as a technology so that inside the justice of God, we'll still have another side and pull out another side. The mercy of God. Can somebody just say, Lord, have mercy on me? Oh, you are not saying it like you know you need help. Lord, have mercy on me. So God allowed that we can retrieve from that same coin another entity called mercy. And we can get it when we have somebody that stands in the gap. Because the claims of justice has to be satisfied. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 11, the Bible says, he will see the travail of his soul and he shall be satisfied. The claims of justice has to be satisfied. Why did Jesus have to die the way he had to die? Because of the claims of justice. Because Jesus had to, you know, when he told John, when he was being baptized, say, I have to fulfill all righteousness. People think he tended at baptism. Everything he did up until dying was fulfilling all righteousness. Why? There's a claims of justice. Because the soul that sinneth shall die. The wages of sin is death. So there is that system that God set up by himself. And God is not a lawbreaker, unlike the other. We can't even say the other, because the devil is not the opposite of God. I hope you know that. The devil is not the opposite of God. No. He's not even the opposite of you. Because you are far above. So when the devil is doing, he's less than you. He's way less than you. Because you are far above him. But you see, in the justice system of God, there are things that God, that justice system by itself demands. That justice system demands that when there has been an altercation, there must be justice that needs to be served. And for that justice to not be looked to have not been served, usually for the judgment to be averted, somebody has to stand in the gap. Somebody has to plead for something else. He has to plead for mercy. He has to say, well, we know that this person is guilty, but can you lessen the repercussion? Or can you completely take it away? So the ministry of standing in the gap is what now takes care of that. You know, most people, when we begin to talk about prayer, they think that every time people pray, they are praying all prayers. There are many types of prayer in scriptures. There's prayer of thanksgiving. There is supplication. There's supplication. Supplication is bringing requests, bringing petition. But there is also intercession. Intercession, which is also known as standing in the gap. You know, the Bible speaking in 1 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 1 to 3, it says that let prayers be made for all men. Yeah, so it says, I exhort therefore, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks. Most people, they only do supplications, prayers, they skip intercession, and they do giving of thanks. And they don't know that, you see this intercession that is there, it affects the other ones too. They don't know that if no man stands in the gap, sometimes the land will suffer, and even the person that is not supposed to suffer in the land will also suffer with the land. Because the way the land suffer is that the land will suffer and it will be a class action. Even the people that are not guilty will also suffer with the land. That's why you have to stand in the gap. So there is a ministry of standing in the gap. So all prayers are not the same. All prayers are not the same. I wrote here, I said we can sometimes be prayerful and not be completely full of prayers. By being full of prayer is that there's a gap in our prayer equation. There is a gap. There is something we need to add to our prayer. We have thanked God. We did Tehillah, 24 hours prayer. We come sometimes 10 hours. I think some part of our 10 hours is very intercessory nowadays, but sometime before, you know, it's just supplication, supplication, supplication. But God is saying to you, you can add something to it. In fact, the more you grow in God, your supplication should reduce. Your giving of thanks will increase. Your intercession should increase. Because I will show you, one of the ways to get things is not to go for things. Is to go for another thing or something that controls those things. For example, if you give thanks to God, it's as if you are celebrating God and you are ignoring that you have problems. But as you are doing that, something else can come to you. That's the technology that Paul and Silas used. The Bible says, and Paul and Silas, they prayed. Maybe they say, God, deliver us from this place. He now said, and they praise God. I really believe that the prayer might be silent, but the praise was loud. And I believe the prayer may not be as long as the praise. The praise was more than the prayer. And the Bible says there was an earthquake. There was an earthquake. So there is a technology of you get what you are trying to get without necessarily trying to get it. It's the same principle that Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Like, go for something that is bigger. Because what you get first will determine what will happen next. The first always affects the rest. It's the same principle of tithes. People don't know. The first affects the rest. The first affects the next. Okay? So if you go for things like giving of things, things like standing in the gap, you may get many things checked that you didn't even ask of. You may. That is the dream that many of us live in. I can't tell you how many times I'm asking God, do this for me, do this for me. I don't have enough time in the day to do that. Because there are many other things that are priorities of God. And many people on our list to pray for. That the more you focus on that, there are some things you didn't even pray for. God will just put it in there. You didn't even know that you needed to pray for those things. Standing in the gap. So one of the most neglected form of prayer today is intercession. What is intercession? Number one, intercession is mediation. Mediation. When you stand and you are trying to get a deal. If you are following the Middle East situation, you are seeing when our president said, we've made a deal. And the deal sometimes does not look like a deal. You know, it's a done deal. And then they undo the deal again and all of that kind of stuff. All of that way of getting to a deal is mediation. You are having conversations. It was what was happening with Abraham and God in Genesis chapter 18. In Genesis 18, God shows up, or three men shows up, and Abraham entertains them. And after Abraham entertains them, you know, on their way, after they had, you know, eventually prophesied again to Sarah, on their way, they said they needed to go and tell Abraham something that, by the way, we are going to destroy a land. And contrary to what many people think, that God is the God that you cannot ask questions from. God is the, you know, and there's a truth to it. Don't get me wrong. You know that statement, the unquestionable God. It's kind of true, but not all truth. Because God is not a taskmaster that you can't say, excuse me, sir, I don't understand. He's a father. Every father will like to give a child a little bit more understanding on what they are doing. So you can say, excuse me, sir, I don't understand. And that's what Abraham did. Abraham said, excuse me, Lord, you are going to destroy a whole country? I don't understand. You mean, even if you find 50 righteous people there, you will destroy them? God said, no, I won't. Then he said, please don't be angry. I know you are God, but can I say that? If I reduce the number, what about that? Well, no problem. If I reduce the number, what about that? You know what Abraham was doing? He was mediating. He was standing in between. He was trying to help out. And I can tell you for free, knowing God, if Abraham didn't stop, if Abraham got to one, I think God would have given him. Somehow the humanity in us got into Abraham. I said, I'm talking to God. Though. Before God will say, have you forgotten what's going on? You are talking to the El Shaddai, the one who knows the end from the beginning, the one who has concluded before he started. You are talking to me, I've concluded. But no. God wants mediation. Oh, I don't like what is happening in Chicago Public School. Is there a mediator? Is there somebody mediating? I don't like what is happening in my family. Is there a mediator or a commentator? Many of us have maintained the seat of commentators instead of being mediators. We are saying, God, why does this thing have to continue like this? We have seen it in two generations. Why does it have to be like this? But your word said that there is mercy with you. Your word said you are rich in mercy. It is true that if a person breaks the egg, the serpent shall bite. But your word said you are a God of mercy, and that you will show mercy unto whom you show mercy. So it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that roweth, but you that showed mercy. It's not what they have done that is the big deal. You are the big deal, God. You are the one that shows mercy. So you by yourself, just show mercy. Show mercy beyond them. Mediator. What is intercessor? Intercession. It is mediating. What is intercession? It is pleading. It is pleading. It is pleading. It was what Esther did in Esther, or what eventually happened to Esther after the uncle spoke to her, or cousin spoke to her in Esther chapter 4 verse 14. And says, Who knows whether you are in the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows whether you are in that department for such a time as this? Who knows whether you are in that family for such a time as this? Some of us, what we are running away from, God sent us as Moses there to plead. You are a Moses there, sir. You are an Esther there. And Esthers don't need to be many. Esthers can be one. Some of us find ourselves in a situation where you're like, I don't like this, my family. They're always fighting. We will do family meeting and we will start with, let us pray. And we'll end with fight. It's like clockwork. It always happens every time. I don't know why we cannot love ourselves. It's almost as if we fight about everything. The color of clothes to wear, you know, we'll fight about that. The color of shoe, we'll fight about. Even the things that are very inconsequential, we'll be fighting about that. In fact, some will have been doing it until one person will now say, "This, it will now become an issue." Instead of commenting, plead with God. In Esther chapter 4, verse 14, Mordecai said, "Who knows if you have been brought to a kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows if you have come to Chicago for such a time as this? Who knows that you have come to the south side for such a time as this? Do you know a man can stay the hand of God? Do you know you can say in this neighborhood there will be no violence? Do you know you can walk that street as the gangs are walking the street and the cops have not been able to stop them? You can do prayer walk on that street and say, not on my watch, not in this neighborhood. I map this place. I am the spiritual authority here. I am a principality. I am a power. I am walking around this place and I take authority over every foul spirit." That's how you should be as a child of God, standing in the gap. And when you stand in the gap, you are pleading and say, "God, this evil has to stop." Some people say, "But God saw it now. If God wanted to do something about it, he would have done something about it." We started from the fact that when there is destruction, automatically, somebody has to stay the hand and say, "Lord, I plead. I plead. I plead for this, my sister. I plead for this, my brother. I plead. I plead." That is what intercession is. Intercession is asking God to spare. That's what Abraham did in Genesis 18. The language he used was, "God, can you spare? Can you spare Chicago? Can you spare this family? Can you spare this child? This child, can you spare? Can you take that child away from the claws of darkness? Can you, Lord, can you spare?" And sometimes it doesn't happen in a day. Sometimes it doesn't happen in a year. Sometimes it will be years. You are still asking, "Lord, can you spare?" There are some prayers you may not be able to pray many times. But the prayer on the intercession, you can keep praying forever. You know why? Because even till today, Jesus is interceding for you. After you became born again, he added you to his intercession list. And he's saying, "Can you spare, oh God? Can you spare Nick? Can you spare Emmanuel?" The reason why some of us are here is not just because of our prayer. It's the intercession of people and even Jesus. It's just saying, "Can you spare? Can you spare?" Because sometimes justice, judgment should have happened in some cases where you didn't do what you should do. You were busy all day. You now came for an all night. And the busy was not necessarily supposed to be so. You busied yourself. Then you now came for another night. And immediately we finished it. We finished like 2 a.m. We finished like 3 a.m. You now started heading home. And whether it was you that drove the car or the car that drove you, and it's not self-driving cars, it's a regular, normal car, you know. And then there were many situations where, in fact, there was a cop that flashed you and said, "What's going on? Are you under the influence?" It's not the influence of alcohol. It was the influence of sleep. And if judgment happens on every time we sow the bad things, and we reap exactly what we sow, some of us won't be sitting here now. It is intercession that brought an intervention. It is intercession that brought an intervention. Somebody maybe was praying. "Do you know God does that? I will get there." God does that, sir. It will just flash a picture in your head. Randomly, you don't know why you thought about Sister Sandra. "Sister Sandra, the last time you saw her was 4 years ago. And in fact, you don't remember her number, but the picture just came up and you were in the place of prayer. And you were praying in tongues. Your tongues was for that Sister Sandra. Sister Sandra was sleeping. And God raised up an intercessor so that there will be an intervention. I'm praying for you. In the day of trouble, intercessors will arise. And there will be intervention for you in the name of Jesus. What is intercession? Intercession is seeking mercy amidst wrath. Seeking mercy in the midst of wrath. The Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 2. Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 2. It says, I've heard of thee, O God. I have heard of thee. It says, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the year, make it known. And in wrath, remember mercy. That is what intercession is. You are asking God, let there be a memorial of mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. Oh, this person, they messed up. They messed up their youth. They did this, they did that. But it's like that thing is now catching up with them. Oh God, in wrath, remember mercy. The United States of America has done all kinds of evil. It's okay. We know that the evil has been done, but don't let us leave it at the commentary of the evil that has been done. We can go to God and say, in wrath, remember mercy. Remember mercy. Because if he doesn't show mercy, you also suffer the wrath. Because sometimes some way some people, this America is this. You are in this America. This Chicago is this. You are in this Chicago. So I don't look at it as a third party. I am part of it. I am part of it. And in fact, you are more part of it than the guy that is in the government house. Because when there's destruction, God didn't say, I was looking for the governor. He didn't say, I was looking for the president. They have their role. We should pray for them. But he said, I was looking for a man. And that man, I was not looking for him in any other place, but in the posture of prayer. To stand in the gap. And to stand in the gap or to intercede or intercession is seeking for mercy in the midst of wrath. What is intercession? Intercession simply is standing in the gap. Standing in the gap. Let me quickly run through a few reasons why intercession is necessary. Intercession, why is it necessary? Number one, or standing in the gap, why is it necessary? Number one, it is the way we get souls saved. It is the way we get souls saved. Intercession is necessary because it is the primary way that souls are prepared for salvation. It is not words that you speak that make people get saved. It is the ministry of intercession. God will now prepare their heart to be able to receive the word. In Psalm 2 verse 8, the Bible says, and this should be one of the things that many of you or many of us should make our goal in life. There are many people that have things I want to get, but they don't have people I want God to touch. You are a baby childish Christian if you are only after things. People are the big deal. Psalm 2 verse 8. I learned this scripture, I think I was probably 18 or 19. That's when I started to have a prayer list. When I read this scripture, I think I was listening to a message, somebody quoted this scripture. It blessed me not in a small measure. It says, ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance. Not I will give you Wall Street. I will give you men as an inheritance. I will give you a street as an inheritance. I will give you a department as an inheritance. I will give you a family as an inheritance. I will zone it to you. I will say, Emmanuel, this is yours. He says, the uttermost part of the earth for your possession. Ah! So I used to say, I want the nations, oh God. Lord, I want the nations. I want the nations. Maybe if I knew what I was saying very well, maybe I would laugh. Because now, the nations are kind of now showing. And I'm like, this nation that I wanted. I won't sleep. Oh. Because only God knows how many hours I've been sleeping consistently for the past few days. But it's okay. Don't, sorry for me. I'm in the purpose of God for my life. But this is the best way to live. God, give me nations. Give me people. Give me Chicago. Oh, you can stand there. Give me Chicago. Many of the interventions that you have seen in our modern day was when people were desirous that God give them a people. Either a place, a territory. They were asking more than things. That's how Salvation Army started. Moody Bible Institute, Moody Bible College, Moody Bible Radio, Moody Bible Church. That's how it started. Many universities, that's how it started. I was in Boston, Harvard, the oldest university in the United States, is church. Newsflash. People that always bash the church. 80% of schools, church. IIT right here. A pastor preached. What I will do if I get $1 million. IIT right here. It was a pastor. It was a pastor. Why? He wanted people. I'm asking you a question. What do you want? Things. God wants us to use people. Use things and love people. He doesn't want us to love things and use people. If you are a person that loves people, one of the ways I will see it is when you are in the ministry of intercession. So why is intercession important? Intercession is important because that's how we have souls. That's how we get souls. And I can tell you for free, the most important commodity on earth is not the US dollar. It's not Bitcoin. You know, blockchain, that's the big thing now. The big thing has always been the big thing. It was the creation of the sixth day. Man. Man is the big deal. Oh, AI is going to replace man. Is that not what they said in Y2K? How many people were around in Y2K? Year 2000. Hello. Why are you behaving and say, some people were here. You don't want them to know your age. Be proud of your age. Me that has been forming Gen Z. You are not Gen Z. You are Gen Jesus. You are Gen Jesus. In Y2K, I remember then. They told us. I was in computer school. I was in undergrad doing computer program. They said, many of the computers in the world will just go, pshew, just go blank. And it might be the end of life. Computer, all kinds of things that people said. Y2K came. We are still here. In fact, those days they say, the way they are even doing computers nowadays, computer will take the role of human beings. Every job, they will just take it away. Has computer taken every job? No. Write it down. AI is not going to take everything. It will enhance some things. It will change the way we do some things. But on this earth, until Jesus comes, the biggest thing will still be human beings. Can somebody say amen? Human beings. People. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 9. Deuteronomy 32 verse 9. It says, Israel is God's portion. If God has a portion, an inheritance on earth, it's a people. It's people. It's people. And even you too. People. You know, an African proverb or saying is the people are more than money. Sometimes it looks like that thing is just, please give me money first. I don't know about people because some people, just give me money. I want all of the money. There are some times money can't do what people can do for you. There are sometimes money can't do it. You will have all the money. There was one day I needed to get someone to see a doctor. I knew about it in the morning. And I reached out to somebody. I said, I need to see a doctor today. Today. In less than 2 hours. In less than 2 hours. Arranged everything. We did CT scan. When we got to where we would do it, they had closed. If we even have money, you won't use money to open the door that they have closed down. But we had people. We had people. And we didn't need money. People open the door that money cannot open. I'm praying for you. That the poverty that has ravaged your life, that only what you have is money and you don't have people, that from this service, God will send you men. God will raise people on your behalf. If you believe, you say, believe in amen. Why is intercession necessary? Because people are a big deal. And it's the way we get people to come into Jesus. Why is intercession necessary? Because it's also the way we get people rooted and matured in Christ. As a pastor, one of the concerns I have, I don't even have a problem of him preaching. As long as people mature in Christ, I want people to know Jesus for themselves. I want it to be such that you don't need a pastor. I want it to be such that you graduate. There can be a night and day. You came to Victory as many moons ago, and now you have grown to this level. That's my excitement. And some of it cannot happen with words. Human words. Just me preaching alone. There's a part of it. The Spirit entered into me when he speak unto me. But a lot of it happens in the place of intercession. If you thought that the biggest thing we do is the preaching of the word, you are mistaken. That's why sometimes many Sundays I don't sleep. It's not because I don't like sleep, and it's not because I needed to prepare. I mean, this is 2025, and you know, computers are there. You can just type something and bring something out. This is even the day of AI. You can just say, stand in the gap. Give me a message that is stand in the gap for directed toward prayer. He will give you something. And I will read it to you. And it will be as cold can be. But I don't want that. I don't even want to speak and only what I say is what you hear. I want you to hear what I don't say. And all those ones come only on the altar of prayer. Bible speaking. In Galatians chapter 4 verse 19. This is Paul. He says, my little children, of whom I travail again in prayer until Christ be formed in you. If you want Christ to be formed in your children, travail in prayer. Don't only bring them to church. Oh. It's not enough. They brought me to church, but church didn't do the job. By 7 years old, I was doing some of these things that this and Brian do. I used to, Ezekiel 37. I read Ezekiel 37, I think I was 7 or 8. And I can still remember most of the part of it. But it's not enough. My little children, of whom I travail in birth, that Christ be formed in you. You brought somebody to Christ. The person is born again. The job is not done. You have to birth them in the place of prayer. You have to pray for them. You have to pray that Christ is formed in them. The Christ formation in them is a product that the Holy Spirit has to do himself. And you engage that in the place of prayer. My little children who are traveling in birth until Christ is formed in you. Colossians chapter 4 verse 12. Epaphras, one of you, always laboring. I hope one day they will write an epistle. Maybe in the heavens, and say, Emmanuel, one of you in Victory House, a servant of Christ, he salutes you. Always laboring, always, every day, every time, fervently for you in prayers. Sir, there are ministries that only some can do in the church. It's not everybody that will teach. It's not everybody that will sing, and at least we know that one now. Some people, we can't find their key on the key list. It's a padlock that has been locked. There's no way. They tell us that to sing well, you hear well. But I don't know if they don't hear well. But they just sing off key by default. It's not, all of us can do all the ministry that is possible. But there's a ministry that all of us can do. Laboring fervently in prayer. There's a ministry. And it's a massive ministry. It's a solid ministry. Some people don't know that this ministry is even more prominent than the so-called prominent ones. Like some of us that hold mic. Do you know there are some people in this church? They have never held mic. They have never even given a testimony before. But they are prominent. You know why? Because sometimes, 3 a.m., they are laboring for a service. Sometimes, 3 a.m., or some random time, God would send, you know, quicken a name in their spirit, or quicken pastor in their spirit. They are praying. There are people that I know they are praying. They didn't tell me that they are praying, but I know this one. This guy is praying for me. I know. That's a good ministry. Thank God for the ministry of other things. But this is a good ministry. Laboring for that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Laboring in prayers. You have a son, you have a daughter, labor in prayer for them. That labor of prayer, when you are not physically here again, that labor will still be speaking. I'm sure you know that for free now, that some of us are still enjoying the labor of prayers that some people prayed. I mean, labors of prayer. Why do we need intercession? Because intercession gets souls rooted and matured in Christ. Why do we need intercession? Intercession is what Jesus did, what Jesus does, and what Jesus will do. What will Jesus do? You know, remember that thing? What will Jesus do? What will Jesus do? It's WWJD. Amen. Hashtag. What will Jesus do? Intercede. Hebrews 7:25. It says, for he liveth to make intercession for them. He liveth forever. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's interceding. And if Jesus is interceding, who are you not to intercede? Because he says, as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. So the ministry of Jesus is interceding, and you have to intercede. Let me move. Why is intercession necessary? Intercession is necessary because it is a cure. This one, you need this one. It is a cure for competition, jealousy, and envy. Let me tell you, my brothers, this human heart is a very funny place. Oh. This human being, no matter who you are, I don't care if you are Pastor E and you are even the one preaching this message now. The devil one day is going to show you some other things that you don't have. He will show you a ministry. And say, but you too, you are talking about prayer now. They are talking about, see the results. See your results. You see, it's not about results. You just shrug it away. And then, as you shrug it away, you were just listening to a message. And the man of God say, as I was praying, you will see the result of my prayer today. And then, I'm like, God, me too. I wasn't sleeping. I'm praying. I'm not seeing result. And you now start thinking, if that person just comes into the room, you just look away. And especially when they come and start, you know, in some of those cases, some of the people that are having so-called results, they will not be sharing that result with you. And the thing will be putting you under pressure. Sometimes they don't even share with you one-on-one. They just share it with the world on social media. And you just go and look at it. And you'll be thinking about yourself. That we started this thing together. We started singing together. Some of them, you even were the one that brought them to God. Or you were the one that brought them to that thing. And seemingly it's getting better with them. I don't know if you have been there before. There are people that came after you came. They have gone ahead of you. You are now asking yourself and say, God, I don't have a problem with them, but, and you know, you are just telling that one to God. God knows that you already have a problem with them. You are just saying you don't have a problem. God says, people are looking outwardly, but yeah, I know you have a problem with them already. You have a problem. And that's why the person will now do something. Now say, what's even wrong with them now? Is it because now they have an album? They are now doing like they are the only one that can sing. Eh? Do you know how many songs we have that I've even recorded an album. It's just that I didn't record it in the proper studio. So you're now doing like, and some of them will now come. You say, look at how God answered me, gave me the sing to Bechuku. I started single, I'm now married. Is it some of us that don't know how to get married? How do I solve that problem? Intercession. Pray for them. If you want to love somebody the way Jesus will love them, intercede. That's the secret of Jesus. Why is Jesus able to still love you as you are you? Let me not say as bad as you are, but as you are you. It's because he's interceding for you. When he was on the cross, how is it that Jesus wasn't angry? Sir, on the cross, for the people I want to die for. Excuse me. Even my children, today I came from Boston and they didn't come and greet me.
and somebody wanted to go and give them offering from the offering that their father has kept. You didn't come and greet the father that is going to give you offering. Ah, say, go and call them. Offering does not go like that. This kind goeth not like that. Offering goes to people that you have said good morning to. That's how I feel when I'm on the cross. I say, excuse me. Roman soldier. Do you know how hot hell is? And I want this thing for you. And you are still saying, I should perform miracle. All the miracle I've been performing, that is on social media everywhere. They have said that I perform miracle. You are still saying I should perform miracle. Eh? And Jesus said this. Forgive them what? For they don't know what they do. Interceding for them. How do I cure this envy? How do I cure jealousy? Because hear me, you will not always be the first. You will not always have the latest. You will not always have the best. Somebody is going to come after you. It will be better than you. It was a mistake that John made. John the Baptist. Jesus came. He himself said it. He's the one that I was waiting for. I have anointed him. But suddenly, are you the one to which you expect? Or we should seek another? Because I don't understand. I don't understand. First of all, my disciple became your disciple. Secondly, I'm in prison and I'm still in prison. And you are alive and you are raising the dead. You know, Jesus is even Jesus. When they told Jesus that John said this, you know what Jesus said? Jesus didn't answer and say, go and tell John that I am he now. I am that I am. He didn't say that. He said, go and tell him. The blind see, the lame walk. It's almost as if the thing that is making him angry, go and tell him again. It is still happening. It is still happening. If he makes you angry, he can make you angry and you can get it. We don't know whether John said he was supposed to be caught. We don't know. The only thing we knew was he was supposed to first come before Jesus. Nobody said they needed to cut his hair. I think it's just a turtle. And don't come to me after this. It's the way he misspoke. In some places they say it's Miss Yan. It was a Miss Yan. I feel like maybe that's cost him his head. But jokes aside, how do I solve jealousy? Because it will come. No matter who you are, it will come. It will come. You pray for them. Jealousy, you pray for them. Because when you pray for them, what you now do is that you get into the equation of the harvest. In John chapter 4 verse 36, the Bible says, quickly give me that. John chapter 4 verse 36. It says, and he that reapeth receive wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice. If you are not the one reaping, be the one sowing. You also rejoice. Many times you are sorrowing over the fact that it's not my reaping season. Let it be your sowing season. If it is not your reaping season, you can make it your sowing season. Sow for other people. They are getting married now. Pray for them to get married more. They are having babies. Pray for them to have babies this more. Because every time you get into the business of harvest as a participant, not a commentator, you are going to rejoice. Let him, when is he that soweth or is he that reapeth, he will rejoice. Both of them are going to rejoice. But when you leave yourself and you are commenting and say, they are just reaping, you are not going to rejoice, but be sowing there. Be lifting on another person. One of the things that blessed me most in my life, many years ago when I was growing up, I heard this. He said, some people, the greatest thing they will do will be that they will birth the next great thing. Did you get that? The greatest thing is not that they will do great things. Oh, they will be the one that will usher in the next great things. They will just be like a John the Baptist. They will welcome the next great person. They will just be like the person that introduced Billy Graham to Jesus. They are not Billy Graham, but they introduced Billy Graham. They are not Peter, but they are Andrew. It was Andrew that first met Jesus, but Andrew bringeth Peter also. Sir, when we get to heaven, some people will be big deal. They didn't do big deal like you thought they did, but they were they that soweth. But he that soweth and he that reapeth, there is rejoicing available for them. Standing in the gap is necessary. Because it's a cure for jealousy and competition. Jealousy will come, oh. But when you start sensing it, pray for them. Lord, use him more. Give him more grace. Expand his ministry. Bless his marriage. Bless his children. Let them go up. Show them mercy. Take it as a prayer project. As you do that, you are sowing. You are sowing. You won't lack joy. Rejoicing will come to you too. That is it. I'll say a few things and we're going to pray because we have to stand in the gap. Standing in the gap. As I close, you need to understand that we have shared destiny. We have shared destiny. This destination that we are talking, this destiny is not single. It is shared. There are things that are connected. Until I finish my own, you may not start your own. You may not come into your own. So to help me get to my own, you'll get to your own. That's why we stand in the gap. We have shared destiny. When Mordecai was telling Esther, who knows if you are called into a kingdom for such a time as this? Esther did not know that her own preservation is in the preservation of her people. When she was going into the king, I'm going there for them. No, you are going there for us. Because Mordecai said, if you think you'll be saved alone, think again. God will raise up help another way. But you may not be safe. We have shared destiny. When we say, pray, let us pray that God will do miracles at Maryland. Because we are going to pray. Don't think that because I'm not going there, what's my own marriage? I've already married and all of that kind of. No, we have shared destiny. If they succeed there, you will not fail in the next place you are going to. It's connected. It's connected. It's connected. It's a shared destiny. Alas, it was not dreams and interpretation that will help Joseph. You thought it was the dreams and interpretation. I will show the gift. No. It was the help for another person. He stood in the gap. It was because he stood in the gap and made up the edge for the baker and the butler. That's why he stood before Pharaoh. It's not because he could. You know how many people can talk about dreams? In the days of Joseph, Pharaoh was like a shrine. Egypt was like a shrine. Remember now, when Moses came, he threw serpent down and said, what are you talking about? This thing that we do for serpent. Come on, jambres and jambres. Come on. Serpent show up. These guys are magician, cultists, and all of that kind of put together. So, to interpret dreams. Oh, no problem. But what got him into the form of Pharaoh was he stood in the gap. There are too many of you. You are too self-conscious. You are too self-conscious. You know, today I was reading an article on prayer. And it so blessed me. He said the Lord's Prayer. Look at the words that were used there. Our. Some people have turned it to my father. It's our father. It's our father. Our father who art what? In heaven. Hallowed be thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. Give. It's not me. It's us. Our daily bread. And forgive how many of us? Us. Majority of the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, is intercession. It's us. But you have made me. That's why prayer is not working. It's so me. Oh Lord, me. It's me standing in the line. I know you have been standing. You stood there last week. We saw you. We are not blind. You have been standing. Keep standing. But we want you to stand in the gap. Stop standing in the line. Stand in the gap. We have shared destiny. The cry of intercession is the cry to spare a nation or a people. Without intercession, there may be no intervention. Intercession does not only affect what you are interceding for, it affects you too. What you are interceding for and the intercessor, they are both affected. You stand in the gap through prayers. You stand in the gap through acts of services. You stand in the gap through giving, through volunteering. You stand in the gap. And this one is what I want you to take home. You stand in the gap when you make mention in your prayers. You make mention. make mention of people. When God brings somebody's picture to your head, what do you just think? And then something bad now happens to that person. You say, I thought about them. He didn't give you to just think about them. He wanted you to do something about them. He wanted you to make mention. Many of us don't make mention of any other person in our prayer. It's only me. No, make mention. By name, make mention. If you look through the book of Paul, Paul will make mention of people. He will talk about the fact in Romans chapter 1 verse 9, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 16, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 12, that I make mention of you in my prayers. I make mention. I want to ask you a question. Do you make mention of people in your prayer? Do you even have a list of people that you can make mention? I talk about prayer portrait. I want to make mention. I want to make mention and say, Pastor James. I want to make mention and say, tribe. I want to make mention. Sometimes when I text some people and I say hi, that hi is because I had made mention. Especially if it's random. Pastor, you just texted me. Huh? Huh? It's not huh. It's amen. Just say amen. Don't do huh? Why? Make mention of people. That's how to stand in the gap. Make mention of cities. You pass by somewhere. You remember your high school. You remember your brother. You remember your sister. You remember something. Most of our remembrance is so that we can make mention. That's how to stand in the gap. In fact, that's one of the ways God does it. You know, sometimes when I'm not here, it was Reverend George that taught me that. He said, use your spirit to scan the church. So I scan. And if it alights on somebody, we stay there. We speak over that person. Why? Somebody must stand in the gap. Because God is looking for a man. Will he find you? Will he find me? God has vacancy this morning. And I want to let you know, the ministry of intercession is the ministry of intervention. Even for you. Let me close with this scripture. Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42. I didn't write it here, but I just needed to read that one. Verse 10. Job, is it 10? Give me Job 42, 10. Maybe start from 9. Job, real quick. Oh, it's 10. Job 42, 10. It says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job. When he prayed for himself. Hello, are you still here? When he prayed for himself. When he prayed for himself, his friends. Alas, all the time Job was complaining, Job could have shortened the journey. Intercession shortens the journey. Because, you know, by intercession, you are helping Jesus to do his ministry. And if you help Jesus to do his ministry, he will help you to do your own ministry too. It's his job. He's living to make intercession for them. And if you are also doing intercession for them, then you are doing his job. And he will do your job. Many people want God to do their job, but they don't want to help God to do his job. You know, God also has prayer points. God also has burdens. God also has agenda. He has things on his heart. He has things he wants to do. He has things he's looking for a man that will partner with him. So that, because if he does it without a man, the devil will come and say, God, you see now, you are breaking the rule again. We know, I thought I'm the lawbreaker. You know, you want to join me to be breaking the law too? So he's always looking for a man. So that a man will introduce God into the equation. Can you be that man? Can you be that woman? Will you stand to your feet this morning and say, I'm that man. And say, I'm that woman. I will not be self-conscious to forget that there are others. I have been reminded that this morning, it is us. It is our Father. It is our Father to give us our daily bread. It is our Father to forgive us. So I will stand in the gap. I will stand in the gap for my family. I will stand in the gap for my country. I will stand in the gap for my church. In the name of Jesus. Are you enlisting? Enlist with God. I will not be selfish. I will not be self-centered. I will learn to stand in the gap. Ah, you will help me. You will help me to stand.